So the Santa Barbara Planning Commission voted to approve a new threshold for odors from cannabis plants. Now, I typed this down a while back. I didn't put a date on it. The odor limit recommended by county staff from the Planning and Development Department was 7 D/T, which would be measured by a tool called a nasal ranger. You've heard of the Lone Ranger. The nasal ranger, and they had a picture of it, and it looked like a megaphone that a man was wearing, or a woman, and it amplifies. They should use women. Women seem to have a better sense of smell than men. Maybe it keeps them away from men that don't smell good. So the nasal ranger, the pot, everyone thought it was a good idea. Let's grow pot. Yeah, they should have decriminalized it a long time ago, but boy, it's just gotten out of hand. So speaking of odor, my sister has been using the perfume Shalimar her entire life. Her dad used to buy it for her forever. And then she got married and her husband bought it for her. But then, sadly, he passed away. So now she has to buy it herself. She bought some and it wasn't the same. Why wasn't it the same? Because California passed a law that the original Shalimar perfume can't be sold or shipped to California. Why? VOCs, volatile organic compounds. The original Shalimar is still sold elsewhere. I don't know if she's breaking the law, but I know she has someone in Vegas who can buy it. And maybe, you know, they could use the nasal ranger to detect people who are wearing Shalimar that's sold outside of California. And we could lock these people up. Look what they're doing. But I have noticed, have you noticed, the pollution in California has dropped precipitously since they stopped allowing the original Shalimar perfume. Now, California does a lot of good things to protect the environment. I'm all for that. I was talking to one of the plumbers at Drain Masters, and I was asking him about root killer that you could go down and buy at a hardware store. And he said, well, you know, it's root killer light in California. Again, you know, because, and you know what, you don't, pouring poison down your store, your sewer line, it means it's going to get into where they treat sewer water. And so I'm not a fan of pouring poison down your plumbing. So either, you know, either ban it completely, or I don't know why you sell a product that might not work that well, but there you go. I have mentioned to you that I check my house records at the county at the end of the business day every Friday. I just have a saved reminder with the link. I click on it. I type in my name. And in less than 10 seconds, boom, I see the last recorded document. I know what that is. And I could see if someone during the week recorded something on my property. And the link is on my website, RadioRealEstate.com, every week. It's at the top. So if you're as neurotic as I am, go ahead and check that. This is something I saw in December 11th, 2024, the LA Times. I had interviewed a man from Los Angeles, who's a small landlord. I can't remember his name. And this is someone who wrote in, entitled Small Landlords Are Giving Up. After reading your editorial on a new rent control proposal by the City of Santa Barbara, I remain convinced that the City Council, the Mayor, and the Housing Department do not get it. The editorial outlined how revisions in the rent control law would lower the ability for landlords to increase rent as compared with the current law. I was one of the mom-and-pop landlords who tried to do the right thing and had long-term tenants. Our rents were ridiculously low. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we went without a rent increase for 4.5 years while inflation skyrocketed. After 80 years of owning in our family, my brother and I sold the apartment this year, as owning it made little financial sense. These draconian rent control policies are forcing out landlords who want to do the right thing by their tenants and can no longer afford to do so. The result will be rent-controlled apartments in Los Angeles becoming more outdated and in disrepair, or landlords doing unscrupulous things to force their tenants to leave. And this is a woman out of Irvine, December 11th, 2024, LA Times. And, you know, my buddy Redlands Jeff, who started buying properties in the 1980s, always kept his rent way under market. And he's getting out of the business. He's I think he's got 5 buildings, and 2 or 3 of them are sold. And he's just buying into more nameless investments, doing 1031 exchanges. And he's getting out of the business. And, you know, I just spoke to an owner who lives out of town, who inherited property from her father. And she's hanging on. I keep in touch with her. And she'll just own the property. The rents are ridiculously low. It's in a great neighborhood. And I love the fact that people like that can still exist, that don't have high payments, aren't feeling the impact. And back then, she was able to inherit the tax base. Today, when she dies, and if the property will go to her children, they'll be reassessed, which I'm not saying is not a good thing. I'm not sure how far you could take Prop 13 forever to keep it in families forever. But in this case, if the children were inheriting the low tax base, they could conceivably keep renting at below market. But they more than likely will sell the building afterwards. But she's a sweet lady, and she's keeping the rents low. And I'm glad to see people who can do that still want to do that. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. Come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.